From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. On today's show, a swath of the Northwest stretching from Spokane to Wenatchee and from Oroville to the Warm Springs Indian Reservation are expected to see critical fire weather today and tomorrow. Plus, the public can now weigh in on a federal plan that could see logging in the Blue Mountains triple. And the first of several conversations with Spokane area legislative hopefuls. Today, it's Democrat and paratransit driver Donovan DeLeon. He's one of four candidates vying to replace longtime Spokane Representative Tim Ormsby. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Much of central and eastern Washington will see critical fire weather today and tomorrow. The National Weather Service has issued red flag warnings today for the Okanagan Valley, Central Cascades, Foothills, and Western Columbia Basin. Tomorrow, that warning extends to the Metow Valley, Colville Reservation, Northeast Washington Foothills, Eastern Columbia Basin, Palouse, and Spokane area. The predicted combination of strong winds, low humidity, and high temperatures are expected to increase the risk of fire danger. And ongoing fires, like a nearly 10,000-acre blaze in Chelan Hills, could spread rapidly. Washington's primary elections are just a month away, and one East Side candidate for an empty legislative seat has raised more money than many incumbents across the state, according to public disclosure data. Former Spokane City Councilmember Jonathan Bingle is running for the West Plains seat, being vacated by GOP Representative Jenny Graham. With more than $120,000 in contributions, Bingle doesn't just have more money than his two District 6 competitors. He's raised more than all eight other candidates for both West Plains House seats combined. In the city of Spokane, two Democrats are neck and neck in fundraising. Governor's Office liaison Luke Jasmine III has the backing of many elected Democrats, including Governors Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson. But he and emergency room physician Dr. Pam Kohlmeyer have both raised about $50,000 as they vie to replace outgoing Representative Tim Ormsby. And in Spokane Valley, two Republican candidates lead the pack to replace Suzanne Schmidt. Cidery owner Trent Meyer has raised more than $17,000, while Air Force veteran Hillary Pham has about $15,000. Ballots for Spokane County voters are expected to be mailed out next week. The deadline to vote is August 4th. One of Washington State's human rights commissioners and the father of a leading Spokane legislative candidate has resigned over allegations of anti-Semitism. Spokane pastor Luke Jasmine, the father of Luke Jasmine III, came under fire for comments he made last March while discussing a resolution to condemn anti-Semitism. Jasmine said he doesn't, quote, have anything against the Jewish community, but also said Jewish people are, quote, always crying and asked whether the commission was, quote, under duress to pass the resolution. The commission posted the video of that meeting last month, and the comments drew swift condemnation. In his resignation letter, Jasmine apologized for the remarks. Governor Bob Ferguson said on social media he'll appoint a replacement soon and encouraged those interested in serving on the commission to apply online. A popular hiking area north of Spokane will close for a month beginning next week. The shutdown will give the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service time to restore areas of Waikiki Springs Nature Preserve along the Little Spokane River. Starting July 15th, crews will remove the rocks and sand that used to cap old sewage settling ponds. That fill has pushed out many native plants. Wildlife Service biologist Brian Walker says once the fill is removed, teams will replant vegetation to restore a wetland.
10 acres of cottonwood and aspen and hawthorn and little pockets of cattail and bulrush, some of those smaller, unique features that we typically see on the Spokane River that were wiped out, you know, like I said, in the 50s and 60s for this wastewater facility.
That habitat will support birds, moose, and other creatures.
We've got close to 10,000 trees that we want to get planted on the site over the next 3 to 5 years. We're going to start that this fall with probably 3,000 trees going in, and that's going to be all volunteer effort.
The volunteers include members of conservation groups and tribes. The nature preserve is owned and managed by the Inland Northwest Land Trust. The public has through September to weigh in on logging plans in northeastern Oregon and southeastern Washington. Oregon Public Broadcasting's April Ehrlich has more.
The U.S. Forest Service has published its draft Blue Mountains Forest Plans, which would triple logging in three national forests. They include the Malheur, Umatilla, and Willawa-Whitman. Elk hunters say increased logging could create meadows where elk can forage, but
forage doesn't mean as much to deer and elk as it could if it doesn't come with security.
Tristan Henry is with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership. He says elk lose a sense of security when loud cars or trucks drive through public lands. They then migrate to private lands where they might damage crops. Henry wants these draft forest plans to include limits on mechanized vehicles, something they currently lack. There are over 23,000 miles of roads in the Blue Mountains forests, enough to circle the earth. I'm April Ehrlich reporting.
Between now and Washington's August 4th primary, SPR News will be sharing conversations with Spokane area candidates. This week, SPR's Doug Nadvornik focuses on State House hopefuls running to replace longtime 3rd District legislator Tim Ormsby. We start with Democrat Donovan DeLeon.
What do you think about Washington's tax system?
Well, I think it's really hard to have a tax system that was made in 1933 and apply it to today's economy. I can't think of too many things except for maybe your toilet that might be the same as 1933. So you have to rethink the tax code. But you can't do it, you know, you can't force it on other people. You have to involve the public. You know, have them vote on stuff. Hey, would you rather have this? Would you rather have that? That way they don't feel like they're being left behind. And I think that was the biggest problem with the millionaire tax. I'm not opposed to millionaires paying the same percentage of taxes as the rest of us. They should. But the thing is, you have to do it in a way where people can understand and they see it as being fair. People want to see fairness in taxation. I think that's extremely important. But the biggest problem that Washington has with taxation is we claim to be a progressive state. You know, we're considered, oh, you're the most progressive state. But we're not. We rank 49th out of 50th in terms of being the least progressive. So you
Let's explain that. I think what you're saying is it is among the least for people who are poor, at the poor end of the spectrum, who are paying more of a percentage of their income in taxation. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. The people at the very top pay the least percentage of their income, and the people at the very bottom pay the most percentage of their income. And that's an upside-down system. We need to have a system where we get most of the wealth from the people in this economy that benefit most from the wealth. If someone's getting 70% of the pie, if 10% are getting 70% of the pie, they should be putting in at least 70% of the taxes, right? So we have to be looking at that. And we also have to accept the fact that if we're going to have people working, 50% of the population is only getting 2 or 3% of the total wealth, we can't expect them to contribute and try to support a system which is keeping them at only 2 or 3% of the wealth. It doesn't make any sense. Why would somebody want to support that system? So you have to accept the fact that you're not going to get revenue out of that. You got to go to the people that have the revenue. So I would start with reversing our system, making it more progressive. But again, you got to bring the public with you. You got to give them some options, you know, put 3 or 4 out there on a ballot, let people weigh and say, okay, I want this one. Then narrow it down to 2 and then have people go and vote. And that's the tax system they voted for. And if someone wants to argue against it, you can say, well, this is what the people support. Because I don't believe that people are necessarily opposed to an income tax. They're opposed to an additional income tax. That's the problem. If you could wipe out a lot of these other taxes, then you could go with a more progressive income tax on the top 10%. Not a huge amount, but you could change that balance so it's better. I also think, look at the small businesses on the border between Idaho and Washington. How many cars go over the border into Idaho because we tax things so much over here on the border? Now, I understand we need that revenue, and that's important. But can't we make things a little bit more competitive? Can't we, say, change the tax code for counties that are near the border so that maybe it won't impact so much on the overall budget, but it'll help those small businesses? Because people are going to drive across the border to save themselves 80 cents on a gallon. They are going to drive across the border to save themselves $2 on a pack of cigarettes, $3 on some alcohol. So maybe if we could lighten up some of that, it would help some of the smaller businesses and keep revenue. So maybe what you lose in actual percentage, you could make that back up in additional sales. And it doesn't always work out exactly that way, but I think that would be a better approach than what we're doing right now.
That's Democrat Donovan DeLeon, one of 4 candidates running for District 3 of the Washington House. The top two finishers in the August primary will, regardless of party, move on to the November election. Tomorrow, we'll hear from another Democrat in that race, Luke Jasmine III. You can find longer versions of these conversations at SpokanePublicRadio.org. SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Steve Jackson, April Ehrlich, Doug Nadvornik, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also your host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.